Plastic pollution is a major global issue. We all know pictures of gigantic swirls of plastic waste floating around in the world's oceans. But even more plastic is being dumped into rivers. Recent studies suggest that more than 100 million tons of plastic waste have accumulated in rivers and lakes worldwide. And this problem is expected to further escalate as global production of plastic has increased exponentially over the past decades. What needs to be done to tackle the global problem of plastic pollution? And how could a UN treaty help to address this? These are some of the questions that we will discuss in today's episode of the Trend Observatory on Water podcast. My name is Annika Kramer. I'm head of the water program at Adelphi, a Berlin-based think tank implementing the Trend Observatory for the Swiss Development Corporation. To discuss the latest trends in the global fight to end plastic pollution, I have today invited my colleague Per-Olof Busch. He provides policy advice in the ongoing negotiations for a UN plastics treaty and recently participated in the third round of negotiations for this in Nairobi, where a so-called zero draft of the treaty text was discussed.
Hi, Per-Olof. Welcome to the Trend Observatory podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Annika. Thank you for having me.
Per-Olof, you have followed the international debate on plastic pollution for some years now. In this debate, rivers have often only been considered as carriers of plastic waste into oceans. But actually, recent research shows that plastic stays in rivers for much longer than expected. Where do you see the largest potential to address plastic pollution in rivers?
Okay, well, let me maybe first start with the answer to the general question, how can we best reduce plastic pollution in rivers? I think the same way, like the way how we can best reduce plastic pollution in general, and that's by, first of all, reducing plastic production. Because the more plastic we produce, the more likely it is that plastic, at least mismanaged plastic waste, ends up in the environment and then also in the rivers. I think this should be the first step in any attempt to reduce plastic pollution, is the reduction of the plastic production. Then there are other measures that could also help reducing plastic pollution in rivers, for example, reducing single-use plastic products, short-lived plastic products that are thrown away after use. And often this is the plastic waste that is littered into the environment and then also eventually ends up in rivers or even in the oceans.
That's interesting, because many of the initiatives that get public attention are cleanups, like communities or school kids coming together to collect garbage from rivers, or then some technical solutions to filter plastic waste out of the water. But of course, you are right, the most effective way is to reduce plastic waste at its very source. So to reduce the production of plastic before it turns into waste and ends up in rivers. How has this issue of plastic pollution in rivers been discussed in Nairobi?
Plastic pollution in rivers actually was not really discussed. I remember one country, it was Bangladesh. They emphasized how important it is to also address plastic pollution in rivers, and in particular to address what they have called upstream countries. So countries where plastic is being leaked into rivers and then goes downstream, for example, to Bangladesh. That was really a major concern, and they repeatedly raised their voice in highlighting this, but there was no other country that really mentioned it. But of course, in Nairobi, they discussed the reduction of plastic production. They discussed the phase-out of problematic and avoidable plastic products like single-use plastic products, short-lived plastic products. And through these means, they could also reduce the plastic pollution in rivers.
Many of the rivers that carry plastics, and you have mentioned Bangladesh raising the issues, are actually in the global south. How do you think does the international community have to support countries in the global south in order to address the problem of river pollution?
Plastic pollution in the global south is often a problem of poor and environmentally unsustainable waste management systems. So, for example, the collection does not work. There are no recycling facilities. The plastic waste is dumped in open sites. Sometimes it's burned. And also many countries in the global south receive plastic waste from countries in the global south. So that there's a huge problem in managing all this waste. And this needs to be improved in this country. And I think this is really the most important support that can be given to these countries, is help them establishing functioning waste management systems. And one instrument that has received a lot of attention in Nairobi and also in the zero draft of the treaty text is extended producer responsibility schemes. This means that the producers that put certain plastic products on the market also have the responsibility, in other words, have to pay for the management of the waste from their products. And we have this in Germany, for example, with the Grüne Punkt, so that on a national basis, the producers that put plastic products on the national market are obliged to run a waste management system in that specific country. So, and then every country can choose how to design it, how to implement it, what the fees that the companies have to pay, and who's running the waste management system, and so on and so forth, because there are different circumstances and different conditions that might require different approaches. So the implementation is more complex, but this is one way how countries might be supported in, for example, supporting them in implementing, designing, developing these EPR schemes. And another topic that's also often discussed in the context of plastic pollution, not so much in Nairobi, is the idea of support in enforcement. Because many countries in the Global South do have already regulations or laws or even bans on the import of certain plastic products, but have difficulties in enforcing them properly. And this is where I would say where technical assistance and support would help a lot to reduce plastic pollution also in these countries.
Yeah, interesting. Thanks for sharing these insights. Now we have talked a lot about waste management and as such more about macroplastics. But one issue that is of major concern if you look into the water world and aquatic environments are actually microplastics. So these particles that are often only about 1 millimeter in size or even much smaller, and which therefore easily get ingested by fish and other organisms and thus enter the food chain. A major source of microplastics is, on the one hand, waste, a macroplastic that slowly gets broken down into very small particles in the water. But another major source is actually rubber particles from tire abrasion and synthetic fibers from washing clothes, so from the washing machines. Does the Plastic Convention also include measures to prevent those probably more diffuse sources of microplastic? And where do you see the challenges there?
It tries to. This is a short answer. You can distinguish two approaches again in the negotiation. So on the one hand, there are core obligations, or at least envisaged core obligations, on intentionally added microplastics. So like, for example, you add microplastics to fertilizers, to pesticides, and you can find intentionally added microplastics in cosmetic products. And the more ambitious proposals aim at phasing out and eliminating intentionally added microplastic, because these intentionally added microplastic are perceived as a problematic and avoidable plastic product. As you can imagine, not all countries support this because they have interest in continuing their plastic production and continuing earning money with plastic products, and they typically oppose to measures, even to measures that avoid single-use plastic products. The basic argument is that it's not the plastic that pollutes the environment, but the human beings that throw it away. I'm just repeating this argument without saying that I agree. I strongly disagree with this argument, as you can imagine. And I think that there will be some agreement in the end. I can imagine that they will reduce, at least in some regions of the world, the intentionally added microplastics. A much bigger problem also in negotiations because of its complexity is the microplastics that you were referring to, like from the abrasion of tires, from washing clothes. And yes, many countries support measures to prevent such microplastics leaking into the environment. But often they qualify this support by saying, well, we don't have the technological solutions yet. So what to do about tires? So apparently there is currently no technological solution to prevent the abrasion of tires. And this seems to be one of the major problems that for which countries do not know how to solve it. That's my impression from the negotiations. So there was nobody saying, well, yeah, let's do it this way and then we have this problem solved. So they lack ideas, they lack technologies, they lack ideas about what kind of measures could we take. So my guess would be that this is then rather something that is discussed under technology, research and development, or things like that, so that there must be more money spent on improving products in a way that they do not produce so much microplastics in the environment.
Thanks a lot for sharing your insights on the various ways how we can fight plastic pollution, from reducing production or bans on certain types of plastic to improved waste management, extended producer responsibility, and more research into microplastic. Let's hope that an effective UN treaty supporting these measures will finally be agreed sometime soon. Thanks again and goodbye.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
If you would like to learn more about the topic of today's podcast and other important trends for the water sector, check out our Trend Observatory on Water website. You will find the link in the description. Thank you for tuning in and goodbye.